This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
After Democrats in the U.S. Senate prevent a procedural vote on a $1 trillion economic stimulus package in response to the coronavirus, the top Republican, Mitch McConnell, says,
"This is, Mr. President, a national emergency, not a partisan opportunity."
Democrats claim too much of the money in the bill would be going to big corporations and not enough to American workers.
Large corporate bailout, with no protections for workers and virtually no oversight.
That's the Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer. Several senators are unavailable to debate or vote on the measure because of the virus. Both U.S. senators from Utah, Mitt Romney and Mike Lee, say they recently had contact with Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul, who has tested positive for COVID-19, so Lee and Romney are now self-quarantining. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
You know, you hear the commercials and it sounds, you know, pretty hokey to be perfectly honest, but I definitely have more energy. I don't get sleepy as early as I used to. I have fewer aches and pains. I haven't had any colds. It seems to be working, so I'll keep going with it.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
Does the sound of guaranteed income have you thinking about buying an annuity? Find out why Fisher Investments considers annuities about as attractive as a migraine, with their nosebleed-level fees, no easy way out once you're in them, and other pitfalls. If you have $500,000 or more, call Fisher at 1-800-859-5500 for your free guide, Annuity Insights. 1-800-859-5500. It's your retirement. Know what to ask.
Another federal official urging Americans to stay home during the coronavirus pandemic. The U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Jerome Adams says too many people are treating it like a party and are not taking social distancing advice and in some cases orders seriously.
I think that there are a lot of people who are doing the right things, but I think that unfortunately we're finding out a lot of people think this can't happen to them.
General Adams speaking there on NBC's Today Show. The nation's capital, it's cherry blossom season. The cherry blossom festival would normally be going on now at a fever pitch, drawing tens of thousands of people every day, but the pandemic has led city leaders to order them to stay away. Yesterday, many people did not stay away, and as a result, the National Guardsmen called in. They're now enforcing the stay-away order, also shutting down streets all over the nation's capital. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
You know, I've told you I get the best sleep of my life with my MyPillow, but I'm not the only one. Mark in Las Vegas told me the other day, we were talking on other business, he says he went to MyPillow.com, clicked on the radio listener special, and used the promo code USA. He got a great deal on a MyPillow, and he is enjoying his sleep now. You can too. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA, and I promise you, you'll get the best sleep of your life, or you get your money back.
Meghan McCain is having a baby. The View co-host making the announcement on social media yesterday, saying how excited she is to share the news. She said she'll be self-isolating on the advice of her doctors because of the coronavirus pandemic. McCain says she's very lucky. Her employers are allowing her to co-host The View from home via satellite. Movie theaters are closed. Well, traditional movie theaters, but drive-ins? Some are open. Here's more from USA Radio's Wendy King.
The drive-in theater is once again experiencing a boom, with nearly all of the nation's movie theaters shuttered due to the coronavirus pandemic. Some drive-in owners think it's a unique position to give moviegoers a chance to do something out of the house while keeping distance from others. It's estimated in the U.S. there are just over 300 drive-ins left in the country. It's about the only place left you can go.
And word is a baby born in a toilet paper aisle at a Missouri Walmart last week is doing well. A woman gave birth to the baby while she was shopping there last Wednesday, and a labor nurse who just happened to be nearby helped as other customers blocked off the aisle. The store's manager, Jessica Hinkle, says once firefighters arrived and the baby was born, customers cheered as the new mom and baby were taken out of the store on a gurney. The baby and mother were doing well when Hinkle spoke to the mom again on Thursday. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
It's the way we roll. It's what it's all about, because getting this country back on track means that the majority of its citizens will be on track and we will benefit greatly from set objectives. Does that make sense to you? It's just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour, and we're honored to have a former Marine colonel with us who retired in March of last year as the Chief of Staff of Special Operations Command Central, and he is the author of the new book, When the Tempest Gathers, from Mogadishu to the Fight Against ISIS, a Marine Special Operations Commander at War. Colonel Semper Fi, good to have you with us, sir.
Hey, Bill, it's great to be here. And
well,
hello to all of your listeners.
Yes, When the Tempest Gathers, who would have thought that your book needed to come out for a time such as this?
Yeah, you know, I'm ambivalent about that. I mean, this is a dreadful time for our nation, and so it appears they would appear self-centered to be excited about anything. But mm-hmm. you know, I mean, the book the book's really it's a memoir, but it's really about the men and women who've been fighting America's wars over the course of the last 30 years. So, you know, if your listeners if that resonates with anyone who's listening, it's perhaps a, you know, a topic that, that can take people's minds off, the current crisis.
Right.
And, I'm sorry, go ahead, though.
Well, I was just going to say, Colonel, the stories that you share, though, what it brings out are first principles. And I believe that when you find yourself in a crisis, you have to go back to first principle. If you know them, if you don't know them, heaven help you. You have nowhere to go but to get caught up in the chaos, and you end up going down the drain with too many people that choose to ignore that first principles exist, like, let's just say the chain of command, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, the book isn't a primer about leadership, but I don't think that you can read a story about a guy who's kind of grown up from a second lieutenant leading Marines in Mogadishu in combat through to a colonel who's commanded a special operations task force in the fight against ISIS and all the mistakes and lessons I've learned along the way, you know, told, I hope, in an entertaining manner. But I don't think anyone could read that book without hopefully learning, you know, about leadership, about some of the principles of command or fighting a campaign, which is often what our what our country's facing now, really. It's what is needed is a central campaign against this latest threat.
Exactly. And we have to, you know, in this particular case, you got to get behind your leader and trust that they're going to make the right decision. At some point, you have to choose, the leader to follow. And are you going to follow the chaos, or are you going to follow the order? And, you know, right now, like him or not, President Trump is the leader of this country. And even you find partisan Democrats who are realizing, you know, there is something about this president that he's making the right decision. Now, the last thing that you would want in a field of combat, Colonel, is to have your men behind you questioning your leadership and whether or not they should, you know, go it on their own. Of course, we know at that point there's some clear military justice that comes into place, if not, you know, their very lives.
No, that's exactly right, Bill. I mean, we talk about unity of command in the military. Any successful operation has to have unity of command. And what that simply means is that there's one guy in charge. There's one guy who has both the authority and responsibility for that mission. And right now, that is the President of the United States. I mean, it's an inviolable principle of, you know, it's not just the military. It's, it's conducting any type of operation. And again, that's exactly what is needed now is a campaign. And you're right. There's one guy in charge.
Exactly. And that's tough for people to swallow right now, because for 3.5 years, there's been such bitter partisanship and undermining of the leadership of the chief executive officer of our country, that now when we need him to have the full support of the body politic, it's a bit confused. I think it's interesting to watch, you know, the dynamics and how they're playing out. But this, again, I believe, just like in your book, as you learn from a second lieutenant to a colonel, you know, to become the chief of staff of Special Operations Command Central, I mean, that is a huge learning curve to go through, right?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's, you know, you and I hopefully would be stating the obvious when we say this is absolutely the wrong time for partisan politics. It is the time to unite as a nation. And that concerns me right now, because even Italy, you know, even Italy that we think of as being a very undisciplined place.
Right.
It, you know, if you watch what is happening there, they're all uniting behind the prime minister in facing this threat.
Well, they're singing out their balconies, right? You see them, right, Colonel?
Yeah.
They're singing out their balconies. We have people here in the United States, too, singing. So there is some solidarity that's coming about slowly but surely. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would love to see the same sort of. Do you remember in the aftermath of 9/11?
Yes.
And you know, everyone was in shock. But at the same time, there was this wonderful sense of unity. You know, it just didn't, nothing else mattered but the fact that we were Americans, we were all Americans, and we were united in our grief and our desire for justice, for revenge. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice to see that same feeling now.
Exactly. Candidly, Colonel, I had my doubts because, you know, we're so disparate and so, you know, the political rhetoric has gotten so mean and offensive that it has cordoned us off. I mean, and I questioned whether or not there could be some unity. But I got to tell you, I'm encouraged. I'm seeing, you know, people, and people anecdotally are coming, hey, I haven't talked to my neighbor in a long time. You know, we're actually talking. You know, we're connecting again. And people are going in and checking on their neighbors, especially the elderly, that do not have the opportunity, or they have limited opportunity to go to the store, you know. And, hey, I'm going to the store. Can I pick up a half gallon of milk? Is there anything else I can pick up for you? You know, some toilet paper and that sort of thing. So anecdotally, these things are starting to catch on because, you know, just like with 9/11, just like with World War II, we realize that united we stand, and we are starting to come together. And I'm encouraged by that. And maybe some of these fences that have, you know, separated us and that have caused us to be siloed and partisan, maybe they're starting to come down just a bit. And in this process, we're learning that we're better together.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Bill. I share your optimism. I mean, it's hardship engenders camaraderie. It's what we see in the military. You know, in the thick of the fight, or even just, you know, even just wearing uniform, you look to your guys or girl to your right or left, and frankly, it just, it doesn't, no one cares what color they are, what political persuasion they are, where they're from, what their religion is. It just doesn't matter. There's one question that matters, and that is, can I rely on him on
there? Exactly.
When the cards are down, can, you know, does he have my back? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is yes, everything else is totally irrelevant. And that, I think, is what we should be asking ourselves now and uniting.
I think that's, this is a great,
than, yeah, more than just happy words, you know.
Right. No, I agree. I agree. Andrew Milburn is with us. We've got more from him after this. Stay with us.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter. And if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who is honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Love America. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, join in. The water's warm. Hey, It is wonderful. Thank you for being a part of the solution, not part of the problem. We're fresh and independent at 19 minutes after the top of the hour, and our conversation with retired Colonel Andrew Milburn continues. Andrew says, call me Andy. And I said, well, there's just some things that are reflexive. You know, my father was a medic in World War II. Andy served with General Patton at the Battle of the Bulge, three of his children, I was the third of them, served in the military. My oldest brother was career Air Force. Number two brother was in the heat of it as a field radio operator in Vietnam, there in the midst of it. And then I ended up on the West Coast because of my broadcast background. That combined with the DOD being a little nervous that all of a sudden the third son was coming into play here, and you know, are we going to end up with another Saving Private Ryan issue? So it just so happened that I ended up landing at Camp Pendleton and doing radio and television and public relations for the Marine Corps. But you know, out of that, this experience, and especially in being in public relations and that sort of thing, and really having a special admiration for people who serve in combat, that are really there dodging bullets, so many who are wounded, they carry their wounds with them to this day, so many who have paid the ultimate price for our freedom. You know, what I've grown to appreciate, Andy, is that probably after it's said and done, we're probably talking about maybe 1% of American citizens find themselves in a combat zone where they're actually firing bullets, and bullets are coming at them.
Yeah, statistically, it's far less than 1%, Bill. That's a very good point. I talk about that in the book, you know, and not in a hand-wringing way. I just, you know, I point out that that, you know, less than 1% of the U.S. population serves in the military. Now, when you ratchet down further and you look at percentage of those guys who actually are trigger pullers and in combat, it's a tiny, tiny percentage. And, you know, the cynic in me sometimes wonders if, I mean, that's the price that we have for having an all-volunteer force, right?
Right.
And don't worry, I'm not going to start. I'm not like Colonel Nathan Jessup in A Few Good Men. I'm not going to start yelling about, you know, you can't stand the truth or whatever. Right. And to reinstituting the draft, that's not where I'm heading. But what it does mean sometimes is that when we are involved in war, the vast majority of the American public, they support the troops, but they're not really involved in the war. You know, it's and that's why when we take combat casualties, they certainly don't make the front page. And you know, without that interest, there's nothing to drive media attention or congressional interest as far as oversight of those wars.
Exactly.
And again, this isn't a diatribe. I think it's just healthy to provide oversight. And we're in Afghanistan 19 years onwards, and we're still in Iraq. And maybe it would be healthy to have a public debate about, you know, what happens next. What are we doing? And I applaud the president's decision to end the war in Afghanistan. It's high time. And I know most of my peers agree with me. I mean, even though we've lost friends, we've poured our own sweat and tears into both those wars. We also understand that it's better for the nation to disengage at this point.
Well, Andy, getting back to first principles, my question is, what have we learned after all these wars, whether it's Afghanistan, Vietnam, World War II, World War I? What is the big takeaway that we, the people, need to really understand so that when we are under threat? I mean, because like right now, you know, the president, and I think aptly referred to it, that we're on a war footing. I mean, this country has been attacked by, you know, an invisible agent, the coronavirus. We need to understand, and you talk about having skin in the game. Hey, look at, you know, it's almost like that axiom about war. You may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you. And you may not be interested in the coronavirus, but the coronavirus is interested in you. And it's not at your shores. It is, it's in your neighborhood.
That's a great point, Bill. And, you know, to your first point about that, what lesson have we learned? I think the lesson that we've learned is that, yes, there probably needs to be there needs to be more of a thorough assessment of what we're doing in these countries as the wars progress. But you just hit on a really good comparison. We talked about the COVID virus as being, it's our main adversary now. It's our national adversary. It affects the whole nation, and it's already, as you said, inside our shores. And so, to me, what the lesson of that is this is a campaign, right? I mean, mm-hmm. This is, in order to defeat the virus, it has to be a campaign, just like as in a war. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, again, I'm not some crazed, you know, senior officer going, hey, you know, we need martial law. I want to everyone's mind. But there needs to be, you know, there needs to be a centralized direction, and the military's got 1.3 million people in uniform, a budget of $750 billion a year, tens of thousands of medical personnel, thousands of hospital beds. They're trained to operate in hazardous material environments. They have the most capable logistics system of any organization within the United States. So think about the resources that the military can provide, but probably the most important resource, I would argue, is the ability to plan and execute a nationwide campaign.
Exactly.
You know, assigning a headquarters to do that. And that is what is needed. And again, I'm aware of the sensitivities. I'm not talking about, not talking about martial law, but our law enforcement professionals right now are strapped already. I mean, you know that. Not only do they have to deal with everything that they have to deal with that's arising from the virus, but they're having to execute their normal duties of law enforcement. You know, there are still crimes going on.
Yeah, because you get some people that are irresponsibly taking advantage, Andy.
Right.
And they figure, okay, while they're busy doing that, I can go in and smash windows, smash and grab, and do whatever. And in some cases, you know, to add to the problem, you've got some states and cities saying, well, we're not even going to arrest those people. What?
Yeah, that is a scary prospect. And it only takes a tiny percentage of the population to decide that this is a good time to start looting. And I'm afraid to say I think that's very likely sooner or later. I mean, you think about how people are already acting, stripping stores of everything from toilet paper to hand sanitizer to, you name it, eggs, for goodness sake. Eggs are disappearing from the shelves. So pretty soon, in parts of the country, I guarantee that we're going to see a problem with looting. And my point is that this is a good time now to activate a good percentage of the reserves where all the medical personnel are, and to be prepared to deploy military, not just, and federalize the National Guard in support of law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Well, Andy,
I know some of your listeners are going to be saying, what about posse comitatus? What about, my point is that we already have in law, in the 1807 Insurrection Act, there are, and in recent revisions to that, there is a paragraph there that talks about the president's ability to deploy the military to counter an epidemic. Legally, he can do that.
But we want to be above that, and this is where self-rule comes into play. There's going to be some knuckleheads, like you said, that would go in and do some stupid things, and they're going to learn the hard way. Unfortunately, then we're diverting resources instead of to the main agent that is causing the war. Now we're dealing with the effects of it. And that's unfortunate, and what a waste of time. Again, I think that part of this, Andy, again, goes back to some basic principles of followership. There are leaders and there's followers, and there is a time when leaders need to come forth, and there is a time when followers need to decide who they're going to follow. Are they going to follow somebody, in this particular case, is the President of the United States, the commander of our armed forces, or are we going to follow some politicians that are all over the place and chaotic, because the followers will be and reflect who their leader is, without a doubt. Andrew Milbourne, right here. Thank you,
Andy. You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
After Democrats in the U.S. Senate prevent a procedural vote on a $1 trillion economic stimulus package in response to the coronavirus, the top Republican Mitch McConnell says,
"This is, Mr. President, a national emergency, not a partisan opportunity."
Democrats claim too much of the money in the bill would be going to big corporations and not enough to American workers.
Large corporate bailout with no protections for workers and virtually no oversight.
That's the Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer. Several senators are unavailable to debate or vote on the measure because of the virus. Both U.S. senators from Utah, Mitt Romney and Mike Lee, say they recently had contact with Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul, who has tested positive for COVID-19, so Lee and Romney are now self-quarantining. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, Mr. Health, and I want all of my millions of fans to be healthy and live a long life so we can save America, American exceptionalism, and capitalism. So, are you in front of a mirror? Did you know that in 1973, a Harvard doctor discovered the greatest single risk factor indicator for heart disease is a crease in one or both earlobes? Strauss Heart Drops has sold more than 1 million bottles over the past 40 years, helping countless people with cholesterol, diabetes, angina, and blocked or restricted blood flow. The best proven indicator of clogged arteries is the earlobe crease. Nature's sign of trouble with plaque buildup. Do you have a crease in one or both earlobes? Heart attack and stroke are our number one killers. Women now suffer 51% of heart attacks. Strauss Heart Drops don't interfere with any prescription drugs. Strauss Naturals guarantees your satisfaction so you can't go wrong. It's the painless, natural, economical way to clear arteries, vessels, veins, and capillaries. And guess who has the crease in both ears? Yours truly. And guess who's now taking Strauss Heart Drops? Wayne Allyn Root! Order Strauss Heart Drops at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Thepowermall.com.
Getting America back on track. Yeah. Bill Martinez live.
Let me tell you, it's doable, but it's something that we all have to be in for and in on. You know what I mean? All hands on deck, as the president has declared that we find ourselves on a war footing, as we were talking with our previous guest, Andrew Milbourne, and I appreciate the retired Marine colonel to come on the show to talk about his new book and, you know, what we can learn regarding leadership and followership. And that is required if we're going to get this country back on track, especially in the midst of this crisis. Well, the Chinese government initially tried to conceal the severity of the coronavirus by hiding facts about the outbreak, which in turn contributed to the spread of the virus across the world. But the state machinery didn't swing into action until January the 23rd. Are you aware of that? Well, the Honorable Prime Minister of East Turkestan government in exile is here to tell us more about it. Prime Minister Hudayir, welcome to the show. Always good to be talking to you. How are you, sir?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I'm prayerful. I got to tell you, Sully, that I'm prayerful that the American people and the people at large will do the right thing. We've got growing examples of that. Like in any war, it's up to the people to follow the right leader and the right leadership principles, regardless of the punditry and the opinion that's flying around so loosely to the injury of its constituents.
I totally agree. I mean, the current, the U.S. government has been very actively trying to push back against this coronavirus. I think President Trump is doing a great job in leading this. But, you know, China needs to be held accountable because, as you mentioned earlier, China is responsible for this. The virus originated in China. They actually, you know, I was reading some reports that it was actually manufactured in a bio warfare lab that China had in Wuhan.
Right.
And they hid all this information from us and let it spread to the world.
Well, and also you got to bring France into play because it was the health minister of France whose husband built that lab in 2003. Were you aware of that?
I actually read a little bit about that too. And, you know, why I don't understand why Western governments, why we are helping China, you know, in any way. I mean, we're giving them a lot of technology, hoping that it'll boost their economy and they'll liberalize. But the Chinese, you know, Communist Party is never going to liberalize. I mean, it's just going to get more and more ruthless day by day. And we're seeing this.
Well, and you've been reporting on this, and we've had you on earlier and talking about the Uyghur internment camps that we're at risk of the highest death toll, according to the WHO, you know, that they've declared since COVID-19.
Yes, according to, you know, the latest reports on COVID-19, I mean, the death rates in East Turkestan is the highest among all, the second highest among all provinces and regions under China's control.
Now, this East Turkestan area that we're talking about is known in the parlance of the Chinese as Xinjiang, right?
Yes, yes, meaning the new territory.
Right, exactly. And so you, as the prime minister in exile of East Turkestan and the government there in exile, is fighting for sovereignty for the Uyghurs and the people that, comprise that area that, you know, China, you know, wants to take over.
Exactly. I mean, China has taken over, China invaded and occupied East Turkestan in December 1949. Since then, we have been, you know, constantly struggling to regain our independence.
And so since 1949, you've been fighting for your independence. But China, being what China is, they're not going to let go. I mean, so what is finally going to, is it just going to be pressure from the international community upon them, especially in light of what they're, what they've been accused of? I mean, they are responsible for this pandemic. And I had tweeted out earlier that, we need to send China the bill. I mean, I don't care about these political correct activists that say, oh, it's racist. No, it's the truth. It's reality. It's not racism. We know that the virus started there in Wuhan, China. Now, to what degree and what all is behind it, I think that's yet to be determined. Some have offered that maybe Kim Jong-un was fulfilling his promise, you know, in joint venture with the Chinese. If you remember, it was, I believe, in November that he said to, he put out there in the airways that he had a Christmas present for Donald Trump.
Yes, I hope to God that's not the case, but, you know, we can't rule that out. Between 2017 and 2016 and 2017, the Chinese government, you know, they collected the DNA samples of over 36 million people in East Turkestan, and we were all trying to figure out why they were doing that.
Mm. So did you come to a conclusion?
I mean, due to the rapid rate of, you know, other than coronavirus, you know, tuberculosis and other diseases have rapidly increased amongst our population in East Turkestan. There's the rapid, you know, growing state-sponsored organ harvesting. So we think it might be, that China is engaging in biological warfare or using these DNA samples to select, you know, organs for its market.
This is amazing to me because we speak of this almost like here in America. I mean, we've become so numb that we think if people want to sell baby parts that somehow that is acceptable. But, you know, where is the international community? Why are they not in outrage against the Chinese government for the harvesting of organs and the whole process that goes through? People hear about this, and it's almost like it just goes thunk against a hard head that refuses to accept the reality of how diabolical the Chinese are. They could care less about their people. They're only thinking about their ideology and their desire to rule the world. End of story. And how they get there, so what?
Exactly. I mean, the Chinese government has largely manipulated the international community, especially the United Nations and even the World Health Organization. Originally, the World Health Organization was, refused to even criticize China for its handling of this crisis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, up until February, I think the first week of February, they were still offering cover for the Chinese. And God only knows, I mean, they're probably complicit in this propaganda campaign that's been emanated to even suggest that somehow the U.S. military was responsible for the release of this virus.
I mean, that's completely ridiculous. I mean, what's the U.S. military doing in China? How would the U.S. military be in China without starting a war?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something that people, it's like the logical mind, someone should ask this question, you know?
Yeah. Could you imagine, I mean, if the Chinese really believed that the U.S. military released this virus, which the President of the United States has called it an invisible enemy and put us on a war footing, could you imagine the Chinese just sitting there and just shrugging like Atlas or something? I mean, come on, you got to be kidding me.
Exactly. No, it would definitely start a war. And obviously, the Chinese government, it doesn't want to take responsibilities for its actions. So, historically, they've always blamed the United States or the West for any problem that arises.
Well, we'll have to see, Prime Minister, if the world has the intestinal fortitude to really call the Chinese for what they have done. Because they are responsible for all these deaths. We've got, over 250,000 infections. Over 353,000 people have been infected by this virus. It is unbelievable the impact that this has had. Over 15,000 deaths. And I believe the responsibility has to lie where the responsibility belongs, whether you want to be politically correct or not, because the truth is something that is undeniable. More from the Prime Minister after this. Stay with us.
This is a message from everyone at MediShare. There's a Bible verse that tells us to be anxious for nothing. Instead, it says we're supposed to present our request to God with thanksgiving. And there is something about being thankful, especially in the midst of anxiety. And with that in mind, the staff and members of MediShare have something to say to all of our health professionals right now. Doctors, nurses, all hospital staff, thank you. Thanks for what you do and what you may be called on to do in the days ahead. Thank you, first responders. Thank you to shopkeepers and grocers and the men and women working late nights to restock the shelves. Thank you, cashiers in the checkout aisle. Thank you, delivery drivers and factory workers and caretakers for our elderly, for all you're doing to protect them and give them comfort. So many people to thank. More than we can mention, important people who have their own lives, their own families to be concerned about, and what they're doing is a blessing to us. So from the hundreds of staff and more than 400,000 members of MediShare, thank you.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I had my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now, 800-471-7065. 855 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results vary. Exclusions apply.
Contacts and glasses are such a hassle. I'd love to finally get LASIK, but...
I'm going
to
stop you right there. If you want LASIK, then the LASIK Vision Institute has officially taken away everything standing in your way.
Isn't LASIK expensive?
Not at the LASIK Vision Institute. We're offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. See for free if LASIK is right for you by texting DO88 to 350-350.
But I'm really busy.
A text only takes seconds, and the LASIK procedure typically only takes 15 minutes. And best of all, most patients can get back to work the following day.
I had no idea.
The LASIK Vision Institute uses the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision. We've performed over 1.3 million procedures. That's experience you can trust. And we're offering 20% off our already low-cost services.
What's that text again?
Text DO88 to 350-350. That's DO88 to 350-350 to schedule your free consultation today.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
You hold my head,
live.
Let me give it to you straight. If ever there was a time that we needed to understand and appreciate who holds our head up, it is now, ladies and gentlemen. Otherwise, we're going to hold on to the things of this world. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, God is shaking things up. This is what is going on. This is a great shaking up that is happening that is not relegated to an area. My original thought about this several weeks ago, because they were only talking about it, attacking, you know, this virus attacking older people. And I thought, well, that, you know, that doesn't seem that would necessarily be godlike. I think it was kind of odd. But then as we saw it playing out, we're realizing that this is impacting all people of all ages across the universe here. So when you consider that, you say, okay, number one, I know that God is sovereign. Number two, things are being shaken up. And as Dr. Tony Evans said, it's what you hold on to. If you're holding on to the things of the world that are being shaken, if you're down at the earth in the middle of the earthquake, you're going to feel the vibration, you're going to feel the shaking and the uncertainty, right? But if you're above it, if you're 30,000 feet in the air and you're not feeling the shaking, and the metaphor being that if you're above it and you are following God's lead and you're in alignment with what God's doing, the shaking is not going to affect you as much as it will somebody who's at the ground level. Does that make sense? Okay, so I pass that on to you for a bit of encouragement right now, that we keep our eyes on the things that are above right now as we are, you know, on this war footing where the enemy, invisible as it is no longer existential. It is living amongst us. It is killing our own citizens. And the prime minister, who is with us right now, Sally, the Prime Minister of East Turkestan government in exile, Salih Hoodyar, knows firsthand. Salih, we mentioned earlier that, you know, the organ harvesting that China does with impunity. And, you know, we hear reports of this, but, you know, it's like the world is asleep and we're allowing another version of Adolf Hitler coming in and destroying people's lives, you know, for its own personal agenda. And nobody is saying anything about this.
Unfortunately, the international community, they're very well aware this is happening. There has been numerous reports. In fact, more recently, the China Tribunal found that this is continuing, you know, as we speak, that more recently, you know, they're harvesting the organs of Uyghur and other Turkic political prisoners in East Turkestan that were locked up in these concentration camps.
They're locked up in these concentration camps, and in some cases they kind of give it a politically correct name. These are reprogramming or re-education camps is what they're calling them, right?
Yes. The Chinese government calls it vocational training and re-education camps.
So it's all in the eye of the beholder, but we know what's happening. I mean, case in point, we don't have to do a deep dive here. You can see the fruit of their decisions as to what's taken place. I mean, look at the doctor, 34-year-old doctor, who raised the alarm and said, we got a problem here. This thing's out of control. We cannot contain this. And so he makes it known. And in a matter of weeks, somehow he contracts the virus and he's gone, along with, I believe, three other doctors. And there's also a recent report of a prominent businessman, very wealthy, who had an active social media, as much as you could have an active social media operation in China, because they're, you know, they're closing down everything. Everything is so scrutinized, you know. But anyway, I guess he crossed the line more than once, and suddenly he's disappeared. His family, everybody has no idea where he's at. And so we can only imagine what the Chinese government must have done to him.
Yes, I mean, anyone that the Chinese government deems a threat, they arrest, they detain, and most often you don't hear about them after that. Sometimes if there's a lot of international, you know, condemnation, the Chinese government will release a fake, you know, a forced confession video in which they confess to their, you know, these made-up charges.
Mm-hmm. Well, Prime Minister, for the Uyghurs in East Turkestan, here they are, and as you and I were talking, they're 2,000 miles away from China, but yet the arms and the control of China has surrounded that community since 1949, correct?
Yes.
And go ahead.
Continue, please.
Well, I just wanted to get your, you know, your perspective on how you continue to battle this fight and to keep the Uyghur plight in front. We appreciate you coming on the air with us. You've been very faithful to do this, to make sure that the word continues to get out to everyday Americans. This is a radio show that is not only heard in America, but around the world. So other people around the world are hearing of the plight of the Uyghurs and the overreach and the aggressiveness of the Chinese government. This is by no means some benign, genteel governmental force. I mean, they, regardless of what they want us to believe, we are seeing clearly by their actions that this is not a friendly agent to the international community at large, is it?
No. You know, since its founding, the Chinese Communist Party, and since, you know, it occupied East Turkestan, I mean, they've been engaging in colonization and genocide. As we speak, you know, they're forcibly transferring tens, if not hundreds of thousands of young Uyghur and other Turkic men and women into, you know, Chinese provinces that have been really hit hard with the coronavirus. have them work as, you know, slave labor in these provinces, while at the same time they're transferring tens of thousands of Chinese settlers and giving them, you know, lucrative incentives such as free land, free housing, high pay salary, free insurance, and a state pension so that they can continue to colonize East Turkestan.
Mm-hmm. And basically, they want their people with their thoughts and their ideas and their conditioning to come in and homogenize, if I can say, the culture of East Turkestan and the Uyghurs.
Exactly. I mean, they've, you know, tried to assimilate us. I mean, they've been trying to assimilate us since 1949, and it hasn't been so successful. So they built these, you know, concentration camps starting around 2016. And according to the U.S. Department of Defense, they put up 3 million Uyghur, Kazakhs, Kyrgyz, and other Turkic peoples to these concentration camps. And these camps are not built, you know, it's not something temporary. The fact that they're, you know, steel and concrete structures show that it's long-term. And many people are dying in these camps, be it from torture, be it from forced starvation or forced medication, organ harvesting, rape, and, you know, the spread of diseases.
Exactly. Sally, what gives the Uyghurs hope?
Well, what gives us hope is the fact that, you know, we believe in God. We believe that God is just, and that as long as we continue to, you know, resist, and as long as we do our basic duties of informing the world, informing those around us, that God will send us help.
And that God would send someone to open up these gates, these prison gates, and set the people free. And we said earlier that the light is the greatest disinfectant, whether it has to do with the coronavirus, human abuse that is taking place there in East Turkestan, and the light of the world has come. I mean, here it is that we are going into this is the fourth week of Lent, of the Lenten season. It is a time of rejoicing, we're told. Maundy Sunday was yesterday, and it's a time to rejoice, and not only are we told to rejoice, but keep rejoicing. And I believe that for the Uyghur, for Uyghurs and the people of faith there in East Turkestan, I mean, their faith has been something that is so extraordinary. And I just want to join with you, Prime Minister, in your prayers that we could be in agreement that the light of the world, that Jesus Christ, who came to set the captives free, would shine through not only on the coronavirus, but on this hideous communist oppression that is taking place in East Turkestan. God wants you to be free. I believe that to be the case, and that this would be fully realized. But it will be by the prayers of not only those, the Uyghurs in East Turkestan and the Turks there affected, but, you know, for the international community to come together and to finally realize that the true light of the world is who we're here to serve.
Amen. Exactly. I mean, we have to, you know, pray to God. We have to join hands together, because it's not only, you know, the Chinese Communist Party is not only targeting Uyghurs and other Turkic Muslims. They're also targeting Christian populations, Buddhists. Any religion is a threat to, you know, the atheist Communist Party. So
exactly.
We have to push back against this as a united world.
Well, we have to leave it there. Salih Hudayir, the Prime Minister of East Turkestan Government in Exile, has been our guest. Salih, Godspeed, and God's peace be with you. Take care.
Thank you. God bless.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.